Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, strike the harp and join the chorus. Christmas is fast approaching. As it nears, let's pause to consider a Christian group that not too long ago was portrayed as ascendant, important, effective politically, evangelical Christians. But let me quote from this article in the American Scholar magazine. Just 10 years ago, evangelical Christianity appeared to be America's dominant religious movement, but the reality largely unnoticed outside church circles is that evangelicalism is not only in gradual decline, but today stands poised at the edge of a demographic and cultural cliff. Jim Hinch was the man who wrote that article in those words. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi.
So your article does not tell the story of this decline through statistics or even through a person. You kind of tell it through a building. What is that building? What does it have to say about the decline of evangelical Christianity?
Well, the building is called the Crystal Cathedral in Orange County, California. It was built in the early 1980s by, at that time, a very famous and influential televangelist named Robert Schuller, who had actually started his church in Orange County in the 1950s when Orange County was sort of a just growing and burgeoning suburb of Los Angeles. And Schuller started his church in a drive-in movie theater, preaching to people in their cars from the roof of the snack bar. So even back then, he had sort of figured out which way American popular culture was moving, and he had had molded his ministry in line with that, and his church, expanded and grew to the point that in the early 1980s, it was a very wealthy and successful ministry, and Schuller commissioned architect Philip Johnson to build him a signature worship place, and he built this huge cathedral. You can see it from the freeways as you drive through Orange County from, several miles away. It was built, I think, of like about 10,000 panes of glass. It's a beautiful structure. When you stand inside it, you just sort of feel like you're in this kind of soaring and light-filled space. And Schuller used it as the staging ground for his worldwide televised ministry called the Hour of Power. Mm-hmm. He staged these amazing Easter and Christmas extravaganzas there. But a couple of things happened to his ministry. One, as Schuller got older and his sort of the younger generation in his family began to come into positions of power in the ministry, there was a lot of feuding among the family members. There was financial mismanagement. But another thing that happened was sort of the demographics of Orange County and of Southern California and really more largely of the United States in general changed. You had a huge wave of immigration from south of the border and from Southeast Asia in Orange County, and a lot of these new immigrants simply did not want to go to churches like Schuller's, and it struggled financially, and it ended up going bankrupt a couple of years ago,
so
and it
what,
was sold off. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, and we should note that there were spaces to have extravagant TV productions, live donkeys and camels as part of the TV show, but if you go there, and you went there recently, what's the state of the Crystal Cathedral now?
Well, right now it's empty, and according to my last conversation with, I think the last time I saw it was, right after Thanksgiving that I got a tour of the place from the current bishop. They were just poised to rip all of the theater-style seating out of the sanctuary. As I was going to say, the Crystal Cathedral went bankrupt. It was sold to the Catholic Diocese of Orange County, which is one of the largest and fastest growing in the U.S. now, powered largely by immigration from outside the United States. And the diocese wants to turn sort of the whole cathedral and the surrounding campus. There are several other buildings on the campus by notable architects, they want to sort of transform it into a Catholic worship space, but also kind of a regional cultural center that will host concerts and art exhibits and conferences and things like that. Some of the buildings on site have already been restored by the diocese. In its final years, the Crystal Cathedral Ministry was not able to afford a lot of upkeep. One of the first things the diocese had to do was patch many leaks in all those 10,000 panes of glass that make up the cathedral sanctuary.
Not actually crystal, yes.
And what the diocese is doing now is pretty much ripping out the entire interior of the cathedral, and they're going to reconfigure it and make it into sort of a Catholic-style worship space, which might mean reconfiguring just sort of the whole way the interior is laid out to make it sort of look on the inside a little more like what you would expect to find in a typical cathedral.
Yeah.
Certainly, it will not be set up with television cameras and studio lighting and all the things that it had before when it served largely as the stage for Schuller's television ministry.
So why is this story not just a story of the decline of Schuller or one ministry, but the decline of this branch of Christianity?
Well, I think because the changes in demographics in Orange County, in a way, foreshadow demographic changes that are now taking place really all across the United States. And what it appears is that sort of the kind of very popular, populist, somewhat evangelical style of Christianity, although there are arguments as to whether Schuller really was an evangelical or whether he preached more of a prosperity gospel message or whether he was sort of more in the line of Norman Vincent Peale, but regardless, he certainly was considered sort of, you know, one of the big televangelists that came of age in the 1970s and 80s in the United States. It appears that that brand of Christianity is losing strength. And more broadly, you're seeing changes sort of within the larger evangelical Christian movement. Most polls show that younger Americans are no longer as religiously affiliated as they once were. Many leaders in the evangelical movement are saying that basically the movement right now is being powered by the membership and the money of an older generation of Christians, but it is not replenishing itself from below. So that while a lot of churches and ministries currently are healthy and are making it, if you fast forward 10 or 20 years, many of them could be in very large trouble. One of the big news stories in the evangelical world this year was that evangelicals reversed their position on the issue of immigration and immigration reform and are now big backers of comprehensive immigration reform. This includes organizations such as the National Association of Evangelicals, the Southern Baptist Convention, sort of institutions that you might once have thought would not have taken this on as a political issue or would have aligned with Republicans on the issue. They have changed, and part of that is because they recognize that currently the demographic trends in the United States do not favor them, and also many of them are seeing more Latinos and immigrants come into their congregations, and they're really kind of strangling to turn their ship in a different direction and respond to all of these cultural and demographic changes that are happening in the United States. And so really the question right now is whether they will be able to respond to those changes fast enough to remain a relevant and culturally powerful part of American society.
Could you put some numbers on the decline for us?
It's difficult because polling about religion is notoriously tricky because people answer questions differently depending on how you ask them. But, I can just give some numbers here, which I have sort of, in front of me.
Yeah.
Weekly religious service attendance, according to the General Social Survey, has fallen from 29% of Americans in 1972 to 19% in 2010. A fairly large percentage of Americans will, when asked by a pollster, will say, are you a born-again or evangelical? Up to 40% of Americans, depending on the poll, will say yes. But then when you talk to the pollsters, they say that those numbers are actually, you want to take those numbers with a big grain of salt. I was talking to a demographer from the Pew Research Center who told me that oftentimes he will find that people will self-identify as Jewish, but mm-hmm. will also say they are born again evangelical. It's hard to know what exactly that figure signifies, but I think to some extent it signifies that there's a bit of confusion as to what the terms born again and evangelical mean, so that when polling organizations begin to drill down into those numbers and ask people sort of more specific questions about their beliefs or about whether they attend church regularly, they end up finding out that it's actually fewer than 10% of Americans really sort of do count as active practicing Bible-believing evangelical Christians. So that in point of fact, that movement, which has often been seen as very large and widespread all across the country, when you really drill down into the numbers, it appears much smaller and less culturally powerful than you might have thought.
Yes, and also, while this is, and of course, this is argued about, and people who identify as evangelical Christianity, evangelical Christians will always write a letter to the editor after someone writes an op-ed saying that we're in decline, denying it. But, you know, one of the telling statistics or one of the telling anecdotes for me is that there are organizations that track this whose audience is the evangelical Christian community, and within these organizations, you know, it is just taken as a given that our faith is in decline and what to do about that and why that is. This is not really a debate for the people who are, you know, living it day to day. You also talk about the suburbs and how the suburbs related to the rise of evangelical Christianity and how the changing suburbs might be causing evangelical Christianity to decline. Could you get into that a little bit?
Well, yeah, it sort of seems that a lot of the big evangelical megachurches especially sort of grew in response to certain cultural needs that people in the suburbs had. People who live in the suburbs, you know, they are more dispersed. There aren't as many kind of centralizing community organizations and public spaces. And a lot of times these big mega churches grew up in response to that, and they provide activities for youth, gathering places, sort of, you know, ways for people to find community and belonging in places where that is harder to do. But the suburbs are becoming less culturally homogenous than they were. You've almost seen a demographic flip as the suburbs begin to take on more of the demographic complexion that the inner cities once did. And, well, if you just look where you are in Manhattan, everybody knows what's been happening in Manhattan and in certain gentrifying parts of Brooklyn, they too have begun taking on a certain amount of, you know, sort of ethnic and cultural homogeneity. And interestingly enough, a recent report by a Christian market research organization, which does pretty good research on sort of evangelical Christianity in the United States, showed that actually one place where the number of people identifying as evangelical has grown in the past decade is New York City. And I think, and they attribute part of the reason for that, some of it is a rise in the growth of small Pentecostal churches being attended by recent migrants from Mexico and Latin America, where Pentecostalism is a very vigorous force. But some of it also stems from the fact that you have a lot of, more well-to-do upper middle class Anglos migrating to New York for jobs in finance and other things like that. They come from parts of the country that are more sort of saturated with evangelical churches, and they want to carry on worshiping when they come to New York, and they find churches or start them there. And so you've got this sort of little mini boom happening in New York City right now of evangelical churches, which you would not normally expect to find.
Right.
I was just going to ask you.
Aside from people who are interested in theology and beliefs of others, there is a political component to this. Around the 2000 election, you know, we were told that George W. Bush found a way to just speak to the base and not, he didn't have to moderate his position. Of course, Karl Rove told him you would just have to get the evangelicals to come out in elections. And soon it was posited that that evangelicals were a theretofore ignored force in American politics, but now they're this huge dominant force that we have to pay attention to. Was their political might exaggerated, or was that actually, you know, the apex of evangelical Christianity and politics in America, and now it's declining?
Well, it's hard to answer that question definitively, but my guess would be that they reached an apex at that time, which was simply because sort of you had those were the years when mostly Anglo, politically conservative, evangelical baby boomers were most likely to be voting and politically active, and that generation is aging now. Some of them are beginning to pass on. Younger generations are coming up, and what you're finding is that there is more of there is a political split happening within evangelical Christianity now. Younger evangelicals really are not interested in waging culture war battles over things like same-sex marriage. They're much more focused on social justice things. It's partly because of the rise of this younger evangelical generation that evangelicals have taken on immigration reform as an issue. But I think a second thing has happened, which is that I think partly as a result of that split, and then partly as a result of kind of the complexion of the Tea Party that has risen in the Republican Party. I think some people mistakenly assume that the Tea Party is just kind of a continuation of old-style evangelical Christian Republican politics. It's really not.
Right.
The Tea Party is very complex, and there's a very strong libertarian strain that's much more focused on, you know, issues of liberty and fiscal conservatism, and is less interested in some of those some of the social issues that the evangelicals are. And I think in some senses, in some respects, that libertarian strain in the Tea Party has kind of eclipsed the energy of the evangelicals in Republican politics. I thought it was very interesting and instructive that despite the fact that there was very large and widespread evangelical involvement in efforts to get comprehensive immigration reform passed this year, they did not succeed. And in Orange County, where I do most of my reporting, despite the fact that many prominent evangelical ministers and leaders of, you know, large megachurch congregations with like 10,000 members personally went and lobbied members of the Orange County delegation to the House of Representatives of the Republicans there to please support comprehensive immigration, even to advocate bringing a bill to the floor, not a single one of them changed their minds on the issue, which suggests to me that maybe the sort of the relative strength or power of evangelicals, even within Republican Party circles, is not as great as it was even just 5 or 10 years ago, which is, to my mind, a very remarkable turnaround in a very short period of time.
All right. Jim Hinch, reporter, columnist at the Orange County Register and contributor to American Scholar, wrote about the Crystal Cathedral and the decline of evangelical Christianity in the American Scholar. Jim, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Stay with us.